The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 18, text number 7. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari. Recorded on November 11th, 2011, in New Delhi, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Niyatasya tu sanyasa. Karmana na upapadyate mohat tasya padityaga tamasa parikirtita niyatashat sanyasa karmana upapadyate mohatasya parityagas tamasa parikirtita niyatasyat sanyasa karmano nupapadyate mohatasya parityagas tamasa parikirtita. Niyatasya, prescribed.
Niyat nirdishtakalipa.
To, but.
Lekin.
Sanyasa, renunciation.
Sanyasya.
Karmana, of activities.
Karmopa.
Na, never. Upapadyate is deserved. Mohat by illusion. Tasya of them. Parityaga renunciation. Tamasa in the mode of ignorance. Parikirtita is declared. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prescribed duties should never be renounced. If one gives up his prescribed duties because of illusion, such renunciation is said to be in the mode of ignorance.
निर्दिष्ट कर्तव्यों को कभी नहीं त्यागना चाहिए यदि कोई मोहवश अपने नियत कर्मों का परित्याग कर देता है तो ऐसे त्याग को तामसी कहा जाता है.
Purport: Work for material satisfaction must be given up, but activities which promote one to spiritual activity, like cooking for the Supreme Lord and offering the food to the Lord and then accepting the food, are recommended. It is said that a person in the renounced order of life should not cook for himself. Cooking for oneself is prohibited, but cooking for the Supreme Lord is not prohibited. Similarly, a sannyasi may perform a marriage ceremony to help his disciple in the advancement of Krishna consciousness. If one renounces such activities, it is to be understood that he is acting in the mode of darkness.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvidam Tam Sajivam sadaitam savadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padam sahagana lalita sivishakam vitamsha.
So there is genuine renunciation. And there is false renunciation. Rupa Goswami makes a big distinction between these. Anasakta vishayan yataram upayunjataha nirbandha krishna sambande yuktam vairagyam uchite prapanchakitya bhujya hari sambandhi vastanaha Mukshuvi Padit Yago Vairagyam Palyu Katyate. A person who is not attached to anything, but at the same time accepts everything in relation to Krishna, is properly situated in renunciation. On the other hand, a person who rejects everything, not seeing its relationship with Krishna, he is called Phalgu Vairagi. He is a false renunciate. Why the word Phalgu is used? Here in India, there is a river called the Phalgu River. And if I take you down to see the Phalgu River, you will say, where is the river? You will simply see some sand there. You say, where is the river? I don't see the river. The river is an underground river. So a Phalgu Vairagi, he makes a show of being renounced from this material world. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. This world is false, I renounce it. Yet he is keeping so many desires in the heart. If somebody walks into a bank with a gun to rob the bank, he is a criminal. If someone comes into a bank with a gun to rob the bank, he is a criminal. If somebody else walks into the same bank and he says, I renounce this bank. He's a madman. Is it his bank to renounce? So someone says, I renounce this world. That doesn't make any sense because the world wasn't his to begin with. So the proper renunciation is to see everything as the property of Krishna. And to use everything in the service of Krishna. This is the true renunciation. So this is being spoken of here in this verse in purport. If one renounces one's duty that could be used for Krishna, thinking that it's material, then his renunciation is false. Yeah, there's a little ant.
Yes. Sorry, again. Mm-hmm.
If one gives up his duty, which could be used for Krishna, saying it's material, that's false renunciation. Just like Srila Prabhupada here, he is giving the example of cooking.
एक भोजन पकाने का उदाहरण दे रहे हैं।
There's an injunction that a sannyasi should not cook for himself. But a Vaishnava sannyasi, he never cooks for himself. Even if he cooks, he is cooking for Krishna. And he's taking the remnants of what has been offered to Krishna. So in this way, the Vaishnava, he can engage in it in so many activities because he's not doing it for his sense enjoyment. Just like here, Prabhupada gives the example of a sannyasi performing a marriage ceremony. What does a sannyasi have to do with marriage? But yet Prabhupada did that. He arranged marriages and he did the wedding ceremony himself to facilitate the Krishna consciousness of his disciples. So the point is, when you're acting for Krishna's pleasure, that is renunciation. It's like one can be a businessman making money. Now, if you make money for your own sense gratification, that is material. You're called a fruitive worker, a karmi. But that same activity of making money, if you use that for Krishna, then it becomes transcendental, bhakti yoga. So how do you do that? When you get your paycheck, you shouldn't think, oh, now I have this money, this is my money. You should think, Krishna is giving me this money to use in his service. Therefore, let me spend every rupee in a Krishna conscious way. Whatever I spend in my household life, I should make my home into an ashram. Not a place for sense enjoyment. My home, my apartment, it must become an ashram. My home or apartment must be an ashram. And whatever extra money I have, I should use it to help donate to the preachers of the Krishna Consciousness Society. In this way, by making money, you can be engaged in Krishna conscious activity. Similarly, having children. If one has children and raises them to be sense gratifiers, then such raising children is no better than being an animal. But if one raises those children to become devotees of the Lord, then your household life is in the spiritual sky. So this process of Krishna consciousness is how to live in the spiritual sky at every minute. Whether you're a brahmachari or a sannyasi living in ashram, or you're a householder living in your home or apartment, the same principle. Yat karoshi yad asnasi yad jahosi dadasi yat yat tapasya shikonteya tat katushva madarpanam. Bhagavad Gita 9:27. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, Do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. In this way you'll be transcendentally situated. Even while you engage in so-called ordinary life, you'll be transcendentally situated beyond the modes of material nature. A devotee does not have to wait for death to go to the spiritual world. He does not have to wait for death to go to the spiritual world. Through the science of Bhakti Yoga, he is living in the spiritual world right now. Can you say that this world is not the energy of Krishna? This is also Krishna's energy. The Mahabhagavati sees Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. So we can come to that platform gradually. Kanishta Adhikari, Majjhima Adhikari, Mahabhagavat Uttama Adhikari. And we can live in the spiritual world at every minute. Just as Krishna is always present. Krishna is always present and Prabhupada is also always present. For those who are sincerely following Prabhupada, Prabhupada is always dwelling within their heart. Blessing them and guiding them. So in this way, by sincere service to Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna, we will always be blessed with their Sangha. And we will be able to engage everything 24 hours a day in Krishna consciousness. This is called samadhi. Ecstatic transcendental trance. In such a mood, when you chant Hare Krishna, you'll experience the sweetest happiness. Those two syllables, Krishna, they have unlimited nectar. Tunde tandavani vithing vitanite tundavali labdiye karna kurda kadamani gatayate kunarvide braspriham chaita prangana sangini vijayate servendriyanam gritim no jani janita ki yadbi amitai krishniti varnadvai. This is described by Rupa Goswami in the Pajavali. Excuse me, it's in the Vidagdha Madhava. He says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I vibrate Krishna on the tongue, it dances on my tongue. And there is so much nectar coming from Krishna that my one little tongue can't capture hardly any of it. Therefore, my dear Krishna, I'm begging you, please give me millions of tongues. And in those sweet little, the sweet vibrations, Krishna enter the holes of my ears. There is so much nectar. I need to have billions and trillions of years to capture that nectar. And when that sweet transcendental vibration, Krishna, dances within the courtyard of my heart, my mind becomes completely conquered. And I am stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. So if one can practice very nicely this science of bhakti, then you will meet God every day. You will personally meet God every day. He is coming to you every day, personally coming to you every day. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is our wonderful science of Krishna consciousness. It will save you at the time of death. It can save the entire world from chaos. If they will only take it. But now they are blinded by illicit sex. They are blinded by illicit sex. Meat eating. Intoxication and gambling. Therefore, they are not taking Krishna consciousness. It's the biggest foolishness to come all the way to the human form after 8,400,000 species. And then to not take up Krishna consciousness. It is the greatest tragedy. The greatest disaster. It's horrible actually. That they don't take up Krishna consciousness. So we have to help them. We have to ourselves become Krishna conscious. As much as possible, we should become pure devotees. Because the more you are pure, the more you have potency, you have Krishna Shakti to attract others to Krishna. So please try to become a pure devotee. So that you can attract so many others to Krishna consciousness. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Questions?
How can I appreciate the devotee's greatness? Well, the first thing is you have to know what is greatness. If you do not know what is greatness, how you can appreciate it when you see it? So what does it mean to become great? The supreme great is Krishna. So the more that one becomes Krishna conscious, he naturally becomes great. So you should simply try to see how much the other devotees are Krishna conscious. Try to judge not only by their actions but by their attitude. Because attitude is the foundation of everything. Try to study the attitude of the devotees. Are they taking credit for what they do, or are they giving credit to Krishna? Are they taking credit for what they do, or are they giving credit to Krishna? Do they think they're great, or they think that they're consider themselves very lowly? So try to see how the devotees are manifesting saintly qualities. There are 26 standards of greatness given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. So, study that list of 26 qualities. And then observe the devotees, how much they are manifesting these qualities. That is the actual standard of greatness. Not how famous they are. Someone can be very famous and be a rascal. But how much they are manifesting the 26 qualities, that's how you can judge greatness. Prabhupada's mercy.
A devotee or aspiring to be a devotee and following the regular principles, trying to raise the devotee coming to the temple, associating with the devotees, engaging in so many activities, is very happy. And when the moment he enters into a grihastha family, and all of a sudden he starts facing difficulties. So, but he doesn't give up chanting, he doesn't give up coming to the temple. No, he's facing problem. How do you define? How do you explain? How's he gonna maintain the balance? And how's gonna be what's gonna be his responsibility then? Obviously he's not putting his attention from Krishna, he's doing same thing what he has been doing. His darkness is his problem. He could even give up his family to hide in the farmers.
That was the question.
The question is, he says when the person is not married, so he is able to do all the chanting and all follow the regulated rituals very sincerely. But when he gets married and gets into the grihastha ashram, he has a lot of difficulties maintaining the balance. Sometimes he gives up chanting and he doesn't come to the temple. So how can one maintain this balance and be steady in Krishna consciousness?
इनका प्रश्न है कि प्रभु जी ने बहुत अद्भुत प्रवचन दिया, उसी के बहुत धन्यवाद है, और कोई भक्त है जिसका विवाह नहीं हुआ है तो वो जो है इस प्रकार से जाप करता है, मंदिर में आता है और उसी प्रकार से सेवा करता है, लेकिन जब विवाहित हो जाता है तो फिर उसके ऊपर बहुत सी जिम्मेदारियाँ आ जाती हैं, बहुत सी उलझनें आ जाती हैं, इस कारण से वो जाप नहीं कर पाता है, मंदिर में नहीं आ पाता है। तो अब उसको भक्ति का जो धरातल है वो कैसे उसमें आए,
so before he gets married he eats every day, right? And after he gets married he still eats every day, right?
Still eats.
So eating means?
He eats
food every day.
Before
marriage he eats, and after marriage he also eats every day. Does he have a hard time eating after he gets married? He stops eating because he's... After marriage, he stops eating or he still eats? So, what is eating? Eating is feeding the body.
He is eating the body.
Eating means feeding your body. So, are you that body? Are you the body or not? What is your answer? Are you the body? Is that you? The body? You're not the body, okay. So you're the soul, right? So, what's more important, to feed the body or feed the soul? Feeding the soul is more important, because that's you. The body's not you. So the only reason the grihastha may have difficulty, because he forgets that he's not his body. He'll do whatever it takes to find time to eat. And if he knows that he's not his body, he'll do whatever it takes to find time to chin. If he knows that I am not this body, he will do whatever it takes to find time to chin. It is simply a matter of determination. If you're determined, Krishna will help you. Just like when I was a brahmachari for 14 years.
Up to 14 years.
I was a brahmachari for 14 years. And I went to Mangalarti every day. So then, after marriage, I got my first job. I went to work at 11 o'clock at night and got off at 8 o'clock in the morning. So how am I supposed to go to Mangalarti now? How can I go to Mangalarti? I go to report to work at 11 p.m. and I get off at 8 in the morning. How can I go to Mangalarti? But in my heart I said, no, somehow I have to go to Mangalarti. I don't know how, but somehow I must go to Mangalarti. So then my boss told me, he said, nope, you know, nobody likes to work the night shift. So we don't mind if you take an extra long lunch break. It's no problem with us. We do not mind if you take an extra long lunch break. So I went to Mangalarti every day on my lunch break. So in this way, if you're very determined to practice your sadhana in grihastha life, Krishna will help you. You have to be determined like the little sparrow. Is it possible that a little sparrow can dry up the ocean to get her eggs back?
Yes.
On our own strength, no, it is not possible. But when Garuda comes to help, no problem. So if you're very determined, Krishna will give you all help. What I advise many householders is, don't eat until you chant your 16 rounds every day. Don't eat it. Just fast every day until your rounds are done. I advise many householders are having trouble chanting their rounds. Don't eat until your rounds are done every day. That's it. You'll get your rounds done. If you don't eat until your rounds are finished, I guarantee you, every day you'll get your rounds done. You won't die of starvation. You'll make sure to get your rounds done so you can eat. You'll make sure to get your rounds done so that you can eat. So it's simply a matter of determination, that's all. If you're determined, they say that determination can move mountains. So how determined are you, Prabhu? Are you a servant of your senses? Are you a servant of Krishna? If you're a servant of Krishna, there is no limit to what you can accomplish. If you are a servant of Krishna, there is no limit to what you can accomplish. Any other questions?
His question is that he wants to know your interaction, how you met Srila Prabhupada.
In the beginning, I was Mayavadi. I had opportunity to meet, just like your that Maharaj should see, Bhakti Madhurya Govinda. Is that it? In Punjabi Bhakti, what is that Maharaj's name? Bhakti Madhurya Govinda, Madhurya Govinda.
Bhakti Madhurya Govinda Maharaj, Panjabal Mandir mein rehte
the. He used to preach to me when I was a hippie in Berkeley, California.
To Prabhuji, California mein kaam karte the.
Berkeley mein jab the to unko prachar karte the.
Acha, Berkeley mein jab the to wo Maharaj jo hai unko prachar karte
the. He was Makhanlal Das Brahmachari, and he used to preach to me.
Makhanlal Das Brahmachari.
And he said one day, he said, Prabhupada is coming to Berkeley tonight. I want you to come and hear him. But I was such a Mayavadi, I didn't want to go. Because I knew that I was God, you see. And I didn't want some swami to pop my little bubble and, you know, ruin my being God, you know. So I didn't go. That was in 1969. And then a year later, again, I was in Berkeley, California. And I was still thought I was God. The devotees invited me. They said, Prabhupada is coming to Los Angeles. We're having a big festival. We're going, just hop in the van and come with us to Los Angeles. You can meet Prabhupada. I said, no, no. I didn't want to go. It was so stupid. Two times I turned down an opportunity to meet Prabhupada. But then, in 1971, I had a change of heart. I realized that I was not God. And I realized that the only way I could be happy was become a servant of God. You see, there's submissive hearing and there's non-submissive hearing. I would hear from the devotees, but I would argue with them to defeat them. In fact, I met one devotee one day on the Berkeley campus, and I defeated him. Philosophically, he couldn't defeat my argument. I said, "You Hare Krishnas, you say that your senses are imperfect." So how you can say Krishna is God? Your senses are imperfect. And the devotee was speechless. He went, he couldn't say a word. I completely defeated him. So in this way, I thought I knew more than the devotees, you see. But then gradually I realized that actually I have to be a servant of God to be happy. I gradually realized I have to be a servant of God to be happy. And then the devotees came to my city and I associated with them. And just by hearing about Prabhupada from these devotees, I accepted Prabhupada as my spiritual master. So in this way, I met Prabhupada before I even saw him. I met Prabhupada before I even saw Prabhupada. I accepted Prabhupada into my heart as my spiritual master. Just by hearing about him and by hearing his and reading his books and meeting his devotees. And then I finally got the opportunity to see him. And I had so much nice mercy from him then after that, in different ways. And I'm still meeting Prabhupada. He's not only seated on the Vyasa Sam, he's also seated in my heart. So I'm associating with Prabhupada right now. And I will associate with him for all of eternity. Any other questions?
How to do that?
The disciple always finds his Gurudev in his heart.
The disciple finds his Gurudev in his heart. How to do that?
How do you find your Guru in your heart?
Yes.
You have to. The way to find Guru in your heart is you have to accept his orders as your life and soul. When you do that, then your spiritual master enters into your heart. And he resides there for all of eternity.
Desire?
He resides there for all of eternity. Any other questions? Actually, it's 9 o'clock. We can stop here.
Yes.
I'll be giving class tomorrow, 8 o'clock, same place, 8 a.m. tomorrow. After class, there'll also be an initiation yoga. I'll be initiating some disciples tomorrow also. Everybody is invited to come for the auspicious occasion. Thank you very much. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.